It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Many residents in the region rely on public water authorities to clean up chemical contaminants that have been leaked into supplies. Then there are those who rely on private water wells.
All this untreated groundwater, and you would have to tell people they couldn't use it to water their lawn, they couldn't use it for anything.
We'll have that story coming up in a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. First Lady Melania Trump was in the Ohio Valley region yesterday to learn about programs finding success in combating the opioid crisis. Erin Payne reports she offered her support to an area once labeled the epicenter of the epidemic.
Trump met with treatment specialists, first responders, court officials, and others fighting the epidemic in Huntington, West Virginia. The city has had one of the highest rates of fatal overdoses in the nation, but a collaborative approach from the city led to a drop in deaths from 174 to 64 over the course of 1 year. Trump was accompanied by federal and state officials wanting to learn about the programs that contributed to this and other successes in combating the epidemic. U.S. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia said on Twitter that the trip focused on different aspects of the epidemic.
Drugs coming into the country illegally, opiate addiction, basically, prescription drugs. Everything that we're dealing with, Huntington and basically Cabell County, has been fighting this and showing promising signs.
Trump's trip included stops at Cabell Huntington Health Department and Lily's Place, a treatment center for babies born affected by drugs in the womb, a condition known as neonatal abstinence syndrome. This was the First Lady's second visit to Huntington. The first was in October 2017. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Erin Payne.
Researchers from the University of Illinois at Chicago have received a grant to learn more about the ways coal dust affects pulmonary health. Emily Allen reports.
The project aims to improve what experts know about coal mining safety and the dust coal miners breathe while working. Although it's known that coal dust is toxic, there's not actually a lot of research about the different types of dust, how they interact, and how they cause lung disease. Researchers will scientifically examine the composition of these dust types. Then they'll expose dust combinations to mice to determine whether a specific mixture is particularly damaging to lungs. A 2018 NPR investigation found black lung disease continues to be a big problem for coal miners, despite federal regulations meant to cap their exposure to dust. The research will be funded with a $750,000 grant from the Alpha Foundation for the Improvement of Mining Safety and Health. The Alpha Foundation was formed following a 2010 coal mine explosion. Alpha entered an agreement with state and U.S. officials to establish a $48 million trust for projects to improve miner safety. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. Some areas of fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today, highs in the 80s to near 90 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Heat index values in the upper 90s both today and tomorrow. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Yeager Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at YeagerAirport.com. A toxic class of chemicals known as PFAS have been used in firefighting foam at former military bases across the country, including here in West Virginia. The chemicals often have contaminated drinking water supplies, leaving public water authorities to install treatment systems to provide safe water. But WHYY's Dana Bate reports the story is different when it comes to private wells, some of them miles from those air bases. She has this report from Bucks and Montgomery County, Pennsylvania.
This is how Jody Kuter starts her day every other Friday. with a delivery from the water guy.
Have a nice day.
Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
The Sellersville resident receives 5 51-pound boxes of water every 2 weeks, courtesy of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. Each box contains 6 1-gallon jugs of water. She, her husband, and 2 daughters go through a lot of it.
4 cases within 2 weeks, maybe 5? I don't really know.
4 cases, not 4 jugs, 4 cases.
We drink a lot of water. Between cooking and everything else, yeah.
Cutair has gotten these deliveries since 2017, when the DEP notified her that the levels of PFAS in her private well water were above the EPA health advisory of 70 parts per trillion. Her levels vary, but they've been as high as 133. Some of her neighbor's wells have been in the thousands. The fact that she even knows about this contamination is unusual. Pennsylvania is one of 2 states in the country that doesn't regulate private wells, so homeowners are on their own to test for contaminants. Many don't, and when they do, traditional tests don't include PFAS. Cutair found out because the DEP found elevated PFAS in a nearby public well and alerted her and her neighbors.
If this development was not here, people would be still drinking the water.
And having no idea.
Having no idea.
Cutair lives more than 15 miles from the former air bases in Warminster and Horsham. But her house in Sellersville is right behind Berge's Tires, where in 1986 there was a massive tire fire. More than 30 fire companies came to help put out the blaze, including ones from the former air bases. Cutair points to her neighbor's house.
Apparently, that yellow house was black. Foam was sitting in all their yards back there and all up there, just sitting there for weeks, apparently, afterwards.
The DEP is still investigating the source of PFAS in the private wells in Sellersville. Regional Director Patrick Patterson says the agency is trying to be responsible and not rush to conclusions.
We want to work with what the science tells us, so that's what we're hoping to do by doing a thorough investigation.
The water delivery is only a temporary measure. The DEP wants to install filtration systems in these homes, which would take the PFAS levels down to zero.
The quickest way to get good water to people is through this filtration system, and the most cost-effective.
But Cutair and some of her neighbors don't want filters, which break down over time and are expensive to replace. Filters also need to be swapped out regularly in order to work, and the used ones contain high levels of PFAS. Cutair lives in Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick's district, and he brought this up at a recent meeting.
A lot of people just dispose them in their trash cans. It's a public safety hazard of a whole separate degree.
Cutair wants public water, but hooking up her and her 11 neighbors would cost $2 million. And Patterson says if people stop using their wells, the PFAS plume could spread because the water is no longer being pumped out of the ground. Regardless of whether she gets a filter or public water, Patterson says she will need an environmental covenant attached to her deed telling people the water is contaminated.
Especially if there was a public water system, because then you'd have all this untreated groundwater. And you would have to tell people they couldn't use it to water their lawn, they couldn't use it for anything.
That concerns Cutair, who's already seen her property value drop. She put plans for an addition on hold and worries she'll never be able to sell her house if she needs to.
All right, you ready? Go get the bus.
Yes!
She also worries about her 2 young daughters. Her youngest, Emily, is 8 and knows about the water contamination.
We can use it in the bath, just you can't drink it.
Cutair wants answers and action, 2 things she says she isn't getting.
I want to move on. I want them to grow up and not worry about water.
But for now, she continues to worry every time she turns on the tap. Dana Bate, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
Living in the mountains of Appalachia, the nature that surrounds us often becomes a mere backdrop. We expect it to be there, so we forget about it. In the new book, Mountains Piled Upon Mountains, Appalachian Nature Writing in the Anthropocene, nearly 50 writers focused on the natural world of Appalachia, using place-based fiction, literary nonfiction, and poetry. Glynis Board has more.
The current geological age is known as the Anthropocene. It's the period where human activity has become the dominant influence on climate and the environment. The writers in the new book from West Virginia University Press, Mountains Piled Upon Mountains, examined human experience and influence on the mountains that make up Appalachia. Jessica Corey, the book's editor, teaches in the English department at Western Carolina University. She grew up in southeastern Ohio, then lived for a while in the very flat geography along the eastern coast. But she describes a kind of hill sickness she got in the flatlands, or a longing for that folding geography. When she moved to the mountains of North Carolina, she says she immediately felt at ease.
I moved out here and just fell in love. I was like, oh, I'm home. I'm home. There are hills, there are things, there are shadows, there's topography. It feels like home. And just having that feeling of rootedness in place and having that sort of tie to place. And I noticed that in the contributions to the book is that everybody seems to have that, you know, that idea that this is home, this is what home looks like.
Corey came to notice she couldn't find a compilation of writings that focused on the whole Appalachian region as place.
If we're supposed to be this whole region, why isn't there kind of a collection that spans the whole region? That's where this idea kind of came about.
From that seed, Mountains Piled Upon Mountains was born. Moving beyond nature writing, much of the writing in the book discusses issues facing the region. Ann Pancake is the West Virginia University Humanities Writer in Residence and a contributor to the book.
I've been writing about the natural world in West Virginia for a long time, and many people in West Virginia, I say, deep ambivalence about the natural world here, our love of it, and at the same time our pain about the way that it's hurt, and also the pressure to destroy the place in order to make a living.
Here's an excerpt from her contribution to Mountains Piled Upon Mountains.
West Virginia, how profoundly beautiful, how profoundly vulnerable. Loving you accompanied always by witnessing, by bearing up under your destruction. Clear-cut strip mine, gas well, chicken factory, farm pipeline, power line, subdivision of second homes, whatever the appetites of people not of this place who don't and won't have to look at what was sacrificed for what they have to have.
Rick Van Noy is another of the roughly 50 contributors. He wrote about the rivers that run through the mountains and the calming effect they can have.
Wilderness certainly, I think, sustains us in various ways. Enriches us, provides a kind of joy. I think those bubbling rivers just provided an endlessness, right? A repeated cycle.
Other contributors to Mountains Piled Upon Mountains write about experiences from northern Georgia to upstate New York, inviting parallels between a watershed in West Virginia and one in North Carolina. They emphasize connections between Appalachia and more distant locations, emphasizing the need to understand the nature around us. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Bord.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glynis Bord. I'm Teresa Wills. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the CAMC Foundation, investing more than $2.5 million in educational assistance for nursing students who will practice at CAMC after graduation. Learn more at camcfoundation.org.